Welcome to Untaming Leadership. I'm Megina Gerazzi.
And I'm Sam Allen, and we are both leadership coaches and trainers with a passion for transformation.
Our mission is to grow conscious and inspiring leaders and to dive deep into the very heart of leadership.
Tune in for your bi-weekly fix of wisdom and inspiration from diverse experts in the field.
Team ready?
Welcome, welcome back to our podcast. And today it's a little bit special because it's going to be interview type podcast. And in my interviewee chair is my lovely, lovely lady, Sam.
Yes.
Who I will introduce today about pleasure. And why are we doing that? Because Sam has, as she has also shared in the previous podcast, has started this journey of beautiful tantra, which I would love to hear more, Sam. Like, also, before we go into pleasure, a little bit of an introduction, like, what made you go into tantra? Like, how did you start this journey?
Thank you for that question, Megina. And I can always trust you to dive in and get to the heart of the matter.
Immediately.
Right. I was expecting nothing less from you. So tantra, actually, first kind of time that tantra came onto my radar was during a coaching session with somebody that I worked with. And she was noticing, my coach at the time, how much energy I had. And how much it wanted to be channeled. And of course, I was doing that and have still been doing that for a long time through poetry, through creativity. And yet it felt like there was a whole other kind of element of my energy that wanted more expression. And so she kind of popped into the conversation. Have you ever thought of tantra? And, you know, even, I mean, I knew a little bit about tantra. I knew it was something to do with sensual stuff and, you know, sting and all the rest of it, those connections. And honestly, I just felt super shy. And I was like, tantra, I don't know, you know, and then it just basically kind
of... Oh, look at you,
I know.
A little girl.
Yeah, I dropped the topic, you know, there and then. Yeah, it was a bit like that. And so somehow, though, I think it stayed in the corner of my, I'm going to say heart here. And then fast forward a few years. And, you know, just before you and I attended our final in a leadership retreat in Sitges, I was staying in Barcelona and kind of getting ready for everything. And I was in this little hotel, nothing to write home about, just kind of interim place. And my back was super sore. And I thought, gosh, I could so do with a massage right now. You know that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, achy, creaky, my neck and everything. And so I went to the desk and they said, well, hey, look, we're not a spa hotel and this is kind of late notice. But you know what, we can see what we can do. And so they phoned a few places. And the only place that they had that with somebody that could come and give me the massage had two offerings, I was communicated on the phone. Option one, classic. Full body massage.
Option two.
Tantra massage.
Hello.
And the rest is history.
So which one did you choose, Sam? Just out of curiosity.
You know, pleasure took over at that point.
Did you go full on? Because I know levels of tantra massages.
Yeah. You know what? So when the person came to give me the massage, it was really clear that there were various different options and that I could experience this in whichever way was right for my body and for me at the time. So it felt very safe. I still was nervous and a bit like not know what to expect. So in full transparency, this massage did not involve any intimate touch or anything like that. It was
more sensual.
Yeah, it was sensual. And you know what? It was so, so nourishing, Megina. I knew you know, from this day, from this experience, and from the aftermath of what I felt, you know, post the massage, that this was going to be an incredibly powerful source for me in my life. Yeah. And so thanks to, I guess, that initial kind of, you know, nudge, if you like, in the coaching session, and then this random spontaneous, you know, experience of Tantra, the penny kind of dropped. Mm-hmm. And I realized that this was going to be the way that my energy wanted to really express itself. So that's how it all started. And what became really clear really quickly was this topic of pleasure and how my body wanted me to experience more pleasure, to allow it more pleasure. And yeah, this was my path. And as I kind of shared in some of the first episodes of this season, I am deeply grateful on a personal level, on a spiritual level, on a practical level as well, that I was called towards this path of Tantra. And one of the biggest healing parts of this journey for me so far is, as you know, I used to suffer with a lot of anxiety. And of course, now and again, it crops back up and, you know, I can experience that. However, largely thanks to this, the channeling of my Kundalini energy through the Tantra, it is just not having such a big place in my life. It's like when I speak to this, it feels like the circuits in my body and in me energetically got connected up through Tantra. And so, yeah, I feel like I want to say like I master my own energy more, you know? So for this alone, you know, on a purely kind of health and personal welfare level has been huge.
I can see that. I can see the impact of this journey for you. And I can see so much resonates in all of it. Like you're so much you.
Yeah.
And it fits you so well.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. So I know that you have been doing a questionnaire.
Yes.
On, I mean, addressed to women, and it is around pleasure. So yes. I'm really, really curious, and I don't know anything about the results of this questionnaire. So I'm very, very curious into what did you learn out of it? What came out after this questionnaire?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So I started the questionnaire because, as you know, I'm absolutely passionate about helping women to connect to their pleasure, to prioritize their pleasure, and to elevate their sense of pleasure in their body and in their lives. So that's where the kind of, the calling was to do this research survey. And it's highly confidential, so I would never reveal the anything that anybody had ever shared in this. What I'm discovering, though, maybe to speak more generally about this, is that women want to talk about it. Women want to talk about their pleasure.
Yes.
And it can be triggering, of course, because let's face it, many of us women, we are raised to put others first, to tend to other people's needs, to forego our sense of pleasure in favor of, you know, providing. So, you know, at times in our lives, we actually can shut this off. So it can be a triggering topic, and yet it's one that's very somehow alive, you know, because of that, really, because of some of the conditioning that we can face around it, and because of the fact that deep down, you know, we all want a bit more of it.
But what comes up when I hear that, it's so funny, because I think, yes, we want to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
But we find it much, much easier to talk to one another.
Yes.
Right. Women to women, because that's also the feeling of belonging, the sharing, being on the same experience, rather than also talking that to our partners or to, you know, to the opposite sex or to the sex that, you know, you want the pleasure from. So what is that about? What do you think?
Hey, thanks for that question too. You always awesome. questions. So first thing I want to say, by the way, maybe I should have said this a bit before. So pleasure, by the way, is a big topic, right? So within the survey that I've been conducting, you know, some women were asking me actually, what do you mean by pleasure? So I actually added something into the survey around this is what it could be, because of course, you know, pleasure can be food. It can be going out in nature. It can be having a wonderful bath and a nice glass of wine. It can be sexual pleasure. It can be sensual pleasure. It can be a sense of spiritual pleasure. Really, there's nobody that can define that for you, you know? So just to say, this is what I'm particularly passionate about is the idea that we need to know what it is for us and that it's a big, big term. Yeah, sometimes we can lack, first of all, the knowingness in ourselves as to what we like and what might bring us that. So sometimes we get disconnected to that part of us and we don't actually know, if somebody asks us that question, what it is we like, what we want to eat at this moment, how we want to be touched, you know, where we want to go even. So we lose a little connection to that. And so it starts there, basically. It starts with a process where we become more aware of our needs. We become more aware of our wishes. We become more aware of what's happening inside of us, rather than putting all of the focus outside and onto people's responses towards us and their needs of us. And as we become more in tune with what's manifesting in our inner world and what's, you know, what we really want, then we can begin to start practicing articulating that to a partner, to a friend, to, you know, to whoever it is that might be able to even help us to access that pleasure. And so, yeah, like what your question around, like, it is probably for many women easier to speak when we're talking about pleasure on a sexual level or a sensual level, to kind of like talk amongst girlfriends or something like that. And for some women, it's, you know, it's a bit harder to actually be there in a situation of intimacy, physical intimacy, and then to, you know, begin to articulate there and then. And like everything, it is kind of practice makes perfect. And what I notice with the people that I work with is that you can start slow with this kind of stuff. So sometimes it's about not just going straight into the conversation around sexual preferences and, you know, what would bring pleasure on an immediately sexual level. Sometimes it's actually slowing down into the experience that you're having together and, you know, saying to your partner, hey, I really love it when you just, you know, use your fingertips to like skim down my arm, you know? Can you do that for me? And so the communication begins to open up when we actually soften the process a little bit and start with, connection from the heart, from the skin, from that perspective, rather than going like straight in with the, you know, the jugular. Yeah.
Exactly. When you say that, you know, like, yes, can you do that and slow down? What do you think is needed to get to that point of communication or that trust or that safety? Like, what is needed there?
Yeah.
Because how come we don't do it more often, right?
Yeah. At the risk of repeating myself again, I do believe it is around the slowing down, you know? So when I say slowing down, I mean, like, literally before we even go into any physical kind of contact with each other, actually even taking a moment to, you know, like we've done quite a bit on our leadership journey and stuff, but to gaze into each other's eyes, right? To actually, eyes are so powerful. And yet, even with people that we really love, we're not always taking the time to just sit and make a connection through eyes without any words or explanations or anything like that. So I believe that's a really good starting point. And actually at the beginning of a tantra massage, for example, one of a common practice is this opening ritual where you're sat opposite. So if you're receiving the massage, you're sat opposite the person giving the massage. And you get invited to put your hands in the person massaging you's hands, basically to rest them on top. And then you start with some eye gazing. So no words, just literally attuning to each other's energy and, you know, feeling the contact of the eyes. And at first that can feel a bit cringy, right? Because some people feel like, oh, is that like staring? Mm-hmm. Or is like, that's, but actually it takes some trust, and it creates trust.
Absolutely.
And then you relax into it. And when you relax into it, then something begins to feel safe and easeful about the next step, you know? And I think this can apply to not just a tantra massage, but to connection with another. Starting with the eye contact, starting with the meeting each other, you know, where you're at, and make creating some time and space where that's possible, you know, and it is always possible.
That's so beautiful. I love that. And I think to get to that also, even to get to that point of eye contact, I think it also takes some level of openness, you know, to be able to be fully present.
Yes.
And also to go into something new, because there is, and as we also addressed it at some in one of our previous podcasts, is that there is a lot of misconceptions around this, you know, like the woo-woo part of it.
Yeah.
Right. So have you experienced that?
Yeah. You mean around like tantric practice generally?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, there's also the like, I think they call it black tantra, or I can't remember, it's black or
the
red.
New age, or
you know, like anything that's working with really powerful energetic forces, there's always, you know, the other side of that, and so that can really kind of cloud people's perception over what to expect. So I have to say, whilst I know about that vaguely, I've been super, super lucky on my journey. Not only do I work with an incredible practitioner that taught me so much and has helped me then to be the practitioner that I am, but yeah, the experiences I've had in trainings, on courses, with massage partners, throughout the whole thing have been nothing really but safe, connected, respectful, and in integrity. So I guess I feel blessed in that aspect, you know. But like everything, you know, you have to, I did my homework, you know, and you have to do that, because you want to know that you can be in full trust when you're working in an intimate way on this topic, you know.
That's beautiful. So if I'm a beginner, and I come to
in
you.
Tantra, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Tantra. Yeah, we're talking about that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what is one to expect when they come to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do we start from?
Yeah, thanks. So the first thing is that we have a chat. We connect. You know, we say hi. We have a chat. We, you know, we discuss kind of where you're at.
Yeah.
What if it's the first time, what's brought you to thinking about having a tantra massage? We also get clear around some of the fears that you might be having, you know, because if you've never had that kind of thing before, if you've never had this experience before, we want to kind of like give some space for you to, you know, share any feelings or thoughts or expectations you might be having around the process. So we leave plenty of space for that. And as you've probably realized from the kind of tone of what I've been explaining, everything's pretty slow. So there's never any rush to go on to the next thing, you know? We have a little look at intentions for the session, what you know, like to get out of it. And then, you know, possibly any things that might get in the way of that for you. And super important is to know how your body is in this moment, and how it's feeling, and if there's any areas of the body that don't want to be touched, or, you know, are kind of not feeling good, what to watch out for. And then basically, you know, this is the place where the trust and the safety is created, you know, and it's made clear that basically everything that happens in a tantra massage is by consent. So, you know, anything that you would experience would be because you've chosen that. And if anything doesn't feel right, or, you know, is uncomfortable or anything like that, you know, that you can say, and then we stop. So just, you know, that place of really kind of meeting human to human, and having a kind of, you know, like in coaching, we talk about designing the alliance, you know, it's like that. Basically, we design how it's going to be, what's needed. And that chat is usually around half an hour, something like that. Super important, because we would never go into any body work if, you know, there are things popping up that don't align with that. Really just tuning into what the needs are and giving plenty of space to express. That's the first part. I feel like I'm talking a lot. So,
no, that's beautiful, because what I'm noticing, it's even when you speak, and also your tone of voice and the rhythm, it just makes me so calm. And I can feel, you know, like how easily, in a way, it is to create that trust with you.
Yeah, thank you. That means a lot when you say that. Yeah, this is for me like super sacred work. You know, I mean, for me, like, I cannot tell you firstly what an honor it is to help guide people in this way, and how important for me it is from the bottom of my heart that whoever comes to me for massage or to have a tantra and coaching experience feels in safe hands, gets to really relax, unwind, and take what they need from the session, knowing that it's a safe space in which to do so. That's like, for me, fundamental, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful. And it can be seen how important it is for you and how sacred it is.
Thank you. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, and then of course the massage, I mean, I don't need to give you the blow by blow, but massages can be really, really different for each person. And quite often what I've found when receiving tantra is I can have an intention of like, oh, I want to kind of feel like, I don't know, enlivened and, you know, in ecstasy or something today. And then, you know, you get into some of the touch, and perhaps actually when you get in your body, you realize, oof, you know, my body just wants to relax today. It wants to, be receptive and wind down and, you know, be calm. So you can be like really surprised by what's happening in your body. And I think that's also a part of the pleasure. So there's no, like, you know, sometimes I think people make an association with tantra, like, oh, you go to tantra to get orgasms, you know, and actually this can happen. And, you know, wonderful kind of byproduct of the experience. And I can say more on that. But the actual aim of a tantra massage is to move kundalini energy from the root chakra up through the body in order to nourish and heal and empower. And this can take many different moods and feelings in the body. So it's not like a goal-directed process at all. You know, it's more awakening of an energy in you. And that's the bit that's healing, because when the energy is awoken, you can do stuff with it and you start to see the impact, you know, beyond the session in your life, in your relationships, in your working life, in your personal life. The aim really is just to help you to connect to yourself more deeply through your body. You know, it just so happens that with tantra, that involves the whole body, whereas in many forms of massage, certain parts of the body are, you know, not included in the process.
That's really lovely. And I wanted to ask, like, usually, you know, the clients that you have, like, and of course confidential information, and still we can do a generalization, what are some of the topics that they usually come up with initially, right? Because we know that something, I mean, during the road, the process, it changes as well. But initially, what are some of the topics?
So I'm working with many women, not just women, but many. And so a common theme is a little bit what we've been speaking to be honest, in this podcast, is around communicating needs, expressing wishes, and not just going with it, but actually, you know, expressing what you need along the way. That's one theme that can come up. And then almost like in a certain way, it might sound opposite, but also receptivity, because we can armor up quite a lot over
the
years.
Opening up, you mean? Yeah. Opening up and receiving. Yeah.
Exactly that, you know, because quite a lot of, you know, most of us, in fact, have, you know, experienced traumas emotionally, physically, spiritually, and they are held in the body, you know, and we don't even realize how much we're holding. And of course, this can, it kind of forms a sort of armor layer, you know, which can actually stop us, if we don't get aware of it, to receive in pleasure into our bodies, to open up, allow things to come into the body, into receiving it into the body. And yeah, somehow at times our armoring can be a barrier to that. So in fact, when I've been on tantra retreats in the past, I've learned quite a few de-armoring techniques, which allow things to start to loosen up a bit and for the energy to move again. And so this can sometimes also come into the practice if it's needed, you know. But yeah, people are sometimes needing to soften their armor so that they can receive in. And then there's so many other themes, you know, but those are the ones that come immediately.
Just a question just popped up now, right? So are you any different when you're coaching, like pure coaching, right? And and I know that tantra can intertwine coaching a little bit.
Yeah.
But as a coach versus a tantra practitioner, do you see in yourself that that you become any different?
I love that question too. So what I've noticed is that since the time I started my own tantra journey over 4 years ago now, I definitely hold a different presence with my coaching clients. So just in terms of the coaching itself, I'm remembering a few clients where sometimes in some sessions, not that many words were actually even exchanged because there was an energetic thing happening and the client was so much in their body. And I know it's because of my own experience somehow coming in. So I guess in terms of coaching, I feel, I don't like to say the word embodied. It sounds too coachy in some way, but I feel like my presence has become more raw and more, I get a sensation as I speak to it that I don't find good words for, but my presence has become more permissive towards sensual expression. That's what I would say in other. So, I don't know. It feels like it's a little bit kind of vague what I'm describing here, but...
No, to me, it makes sense.
Does it? Yeah. It feels very real. I feel like, put it in layman's terms, right? People that come to coach with me know damn well that they can very easily drop into their physical presence and open up and let out their energy. That's all I can describe it as. And so it's definitely had that impact for sure. And then in terms of the tantra, the coaching impacting the tantra is such a great combination actually, because when we have like in a tantra massage session, there's this kind of intro chat, you know, and it helps me to be a coach there because I can hold a space of safety and curiosity. And I know how to, like, because, you know, when we're going into stuff with the body, as with any body work, strong emotions can come up, you know, even when we just begin to talk about some of our struggles and needs and wishes and stuff like that. And so when these, you know, come forward in a session at the beginning of tantra, I can be with them. I know how to be with them and I know how to hold space for them. So somehow I feel like the body awareness that I've got from Tantra and sensual awareness combined with the emotional awareness that I have through the coaching is just like the perfect fit. You know, my hands are just going like,
yes.
Yeah. So really, yeah.
Amazing combination.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing was actually that the Tantra and coaching journeys that I do, their pleasure journeys, they came about really spontaneously. It was somebody reached out and they were interested in having a bit of coaching and a bit of Tantra. And then from there, you know, it became a thing. And so this, you know, combination of having, I mean, I let the client decide whether they want to, you know, start with a coaching session or with a Tantra, they choose. And it's incredible how the wisdom of the heart and soul through the coaching is deepened in the Tantra session and then, you know, vice versa. So this like was really great, easeful co-creation with clients, basically, you know?
Oh, that's really beautiful to, in a way, build the whole picture of you, even though, of course, there is much more to you than this. But in a way to see that how well they intertwine with each other and how well, you know, they complement and support each other on the way.
Absolutely. Yeah, they really do.
So coming back to the pleasure, I won't let you go easily with that because I'm learning myself.
Sure.
So when it comes to women, right? And we talked a little bit about communication, expressing needs and everything. Pleasure in general, right? It's not only the sensual or the sexual part. So what would be your advice in terms of for women and maybe, I mean, all of us human beings experience more pleasure?
So around like how to experience more pleasure.
Yes, your advice. Yeah, exactly. How to get in contact with more pleasure. How to enhance more pleasure.
It starts with the space. This is what my heart wants me to say when you ask me that question. I know that there may be busy working mums that might be listening to this thinking, space, time, are you crazy, woman? I can't even hear myself think, you know? And I get it. I absolutely get it. And there is always some way of carving out a space in your life, and it's a birthright to experience pleasure. And so, yeah, we are busy people, most of us, and we do have to create spaces intentionally, just as we create spaces to do the shopping, to do the washing, pick the kids up from school, you know, we do have to consciously create a space for pleasure. And even more so when we have got a lot of things we're juggling. That may be a precious half an hour once a week. But the minute you start to schedule that in and honor it, you're on your way, you know? So I would say, even if it takes something like your Google Calendar, blocking in, you know, I don't know what day, Friday afternoons, 3 till 4 is my pleasure hour, right? And even if you're like, okay, so now I've done that and I'm here, like, what, where the hell do I start? Doing something simple like preparing yourself an extra nice drink, listening to a track of music that makes you feel relaxed and a bit more spacious, and actually indulging the being side of you, that's already huge, you know? So that's, I feel like having a starting point of actually acknowledging in yourself that it is absolutely okay, normal to want to have pleasure in your life, and that it is necessary to factor that into your life. Because when you start to honor that, you begin to radiate that to people around you. So your husband or your wife or your children and your, you know, co-workers, they'll start to see a little bit more glint in the eye because you're actually, you know, acknowledging that need in you and responding to it. And that can only but grow. And then, you know, the more that you actually create space for that and attune to it, the more that twinkle becomes a spark, becomes, you know, joyful energy, becomes a radiance in you. And the more you start to see in the mirror, wow, this is who I'm becoming, and this is what I'm giving out, and this is what's coming back to me as a result of that, you know? Yeah, it's all a permission thing, and it can start with the most simplest of steps. It does not have to be going on a, you know, tantra retreat in Bali for 9 months. It can literally be just a small space in which you honor your birthright to feel pleasure in the most simplest of forms.
So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Sam. It's really, really very insightful and valuable information, especially taking that time and space. Mm. And as a last question,
yes,
to close this wonderful and very insightful, as I said, podcast, and thank you for sharing all this information and your journey with it. What is your wish, first for yourself and also for women?
My wish for myself, what pops up in my, I'm closing my eyes as you ask me that question, as you can see. So I see joy, and my screensaver on my phone is a big yellow thing saying joy. And it's this reminder that the more I entertain joy, the more I allow joy, the more I bring my focus back to joy. Then I get a very physical feeling. The more alive I feel, the more powerful I am in my work, the more I can show up in my relationships. It's around, I think the message that I'm getting, and this feels like a download, so apologies if it's not super clear, but it's around that reminder to myself right now that I can always come back to joy. Yes, there's this trauma or this annoying thing that's happened today or this thing I need to schedule or whatever, but I have this choice, and that every time I choose joy, I'm doing something good for me and for those people around me, you know? So my wish for myself is really that, is to continue to embracing joy and pleasure for the sake of abundance, you know? In my work, in all aspects of my work. I mean, today I've been speaking more on the tantra and coaching level, also in my leadership training work. Just joy creates more joy, you know? And I'm not talking about toxic positivity here. I'm not talking about saying everything's great when it isn't. I'm just talking about the intention to come back to that energy, because it has the highest vibration. And then you were asking me about other women, and it really takes me back to my mission, which I think I did share at the beginning, but I want to say again, you know, my mission is to help women to connect to their joy and to their pleasure, to prioritize their pleasure, and to elevate their sense of pleasure in their bodies and in their lives. This is what I want for women, deeply and passionately. And actually, if you're listening and you want to know a bit more about my pleasure journey, I just wanted to also share that nearly fell off my chair. I'm actually leading a Women's Hub love session for the Women's Hub in Zurich. It's an online session, and it's on the topic of pleasure, and it's on the 4th of July. So I will pop the link into the podcast notes, and I would love to see you there and to share, you know, even more about this. And if people then have questions and stuff, I can hope to answer those.
Thank you so much. You've answered all my questions today. And of course, I always have more. And for today, this is it. Again, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your sharing your wisdom, your insights, your knowledge all around this pleasure. And as I also said before, your experience. So thank you for your openness and your honesty and your authenticity, everything. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Megan. It was just wonderful to be interviewed on this topic. And I really appreciate all of your questions. Thank you for listening to this episode of Untaming Leadership.
Are you a leader keen to share your take on leadership?
Want to offer your organization the chance to participate in one of our experiential conscious leadership programs?
We would love to hear from you.